What's up, everyone? This is Lito, and you're listening to Crypto Testers, a podcast keeping you informed about all the coolest projects in the crypto space. But before we jump into the show, I want to thank our sponsor, Bitwala. Bitwala is Germany's crypto flagship company. They offer users in Europe a full-fledged bank account, including deposit insurance and other things, as well as an integrated Bitcoin and Ethereum wallet. So using Bitwala, you can move your money seamlessly between your euros and your crypto. They keep on adding new features, such as their recently launched Bitcoin interest account, allowing users to earn interest on their Bitcoin. I highly recommend you check them out. I will post a link in the show notes. In this episode, we sat down with Cooper Turley, who leads strategy and community at Audius. Audius is a decentralized music sharing and streaming protocol built on the Ethereum blockchain. It facilitates direct relationships between artists and their fans. And it tries to address a lot of the problems the music industry currently faces, such as the endless number of middlemen involved or the disjointed royalty system. We cover what makes Audius unique, the audio platform token that it recently launched, how to get the incentive designs right to onboard more users and artists to its platform, as well as what to expect from Audius in the future. Hey, Cooper.
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing today?
Very good, very good. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's really good actually to have you on the show, because it's the first time that I'm talking about a topic that is not strictly financial. So maybe, just maybe, my friends will actually listen to this episode for once and maybe even find their way into crypto after that. Yeah, before we talk about Audius specifically, let's maybe quickly go through your background. I know that you were running a website called DeFi Rate before, which is quite similar to Crypto Testers, actually, showing people like how to get onboarded into DeFi and all of that. So yeah, can you talk a little bit about this project and how you joined Audius after that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been working in crypto for about 3 or 4 years now. You know, during the bear market, it was basically just trying to stay afloat. And I remember in late 2018, early 19, this term DeFi started popping up. And it was something that I thought was super cool, because I saw that projects were implementing working products, they're implementing business models. And, you know, from a general perspective, that sounds kind of crazy that that wasn't around prior to that. But I think sort of in crypto, this was a very new thing. And so what I did is I started writing avidly about it, you know, just talking about the projects that were in DeFi at the time, what they were building, how it worked. And, you know, as news started really picking up, I basically said, hey, I think that I should lead an outlet in this front. So there's an angel in Silicon Valley who actually started the site DeFi Rate. He was looking for some writers. Me and one of my colleagues hopped on to just do some writing. And very quickly, it turned into me becoming an editor and basically writing multiple articles a day. You know, the pace at which all this news was happening was so fast that we really needed to be just on the cutting edge, making sure we were getting everything up in real time. And, you know, that really blossomed into what happened the past couple of months here with DeFi, where it became the center stage of crypto, right? That you basically couldn't do anything in crypto without hearing the word DeFi. And I think I was very fortunate to have doubled down on that such a long time ago that I could find myself a subject matter expert in something that was very popular.
Yeah, right. It's also such a lag in the space before sites like DeFi Rate, DeFi Prime, and I would also include my site, because most of the people actually are technical. And so it's really hard for people who are new to the space to find their way through and understand these concepts a little bit more. But so this is more on the sideline now for you, or are you still being an editor besides being at Audius?
Yep. So I'm still active with the platform. I also do contributions to Define a lot. And I think to your point, you know, I really enjoy being able to communicate complicated topics to people who are just getting started. I think it's something that we deeply need in this space. And, you know, my goal is to be able to take these primitives that we're so excited about with lending, decentralized exchanges, basically all this Web3 stuff that, you know, gets us really hyped up, and basically package that in a way so that someone who's completely new to crypto can, you know, maybe do an hour of research and then kind of understand why we're so excited about it. So I always see myself kind of being an active writer in the space. You know, as you alluded to, I am spending a lot more of my time on Audius now, which we'll get into in a bit. You know, DeFi is not going anywhere anytime soon, and I definitely see myself reporting on it as a sector for quite a long time.
Right. And writers are actually also in high demand at the moment, because projects dearly need people who are able to communicate these sort of complex ideas to the mainstream. So I guess then I'll just approach you at some point. And
yeah, so I'll say two things there. I think first, you mentioned, you know, writers are in high demand. I couldn't agree more with that. I think that there's so many projects that need good community managers now. You know, when I came into the space back in 2017, I started as a community manager. And at that point, it was sort of in this whole ICO mania, and the caliber of those projects was pretty poor, if I'm being honest. But I think that now we've gotten to a point where very legitimate products that have been building for years on end and are sort of going to mainnet or sort of are looking to scale up their team, they always need help corralling their community. I think it's one of the most important things that you can do as a project. So to anyone listening to this that may be just getting started in crypto, you know, there is definitely opportunities to get involved with some really legitimate projects if you take the time to, you know, look around and research and get familiar. I think on the audio side of things, so prior to me working in crypto, I was doing a lot of stuff in the music business in college. So I was a journalist for music festivals, was doing artist management, was a DJ for a brief stint. I did curation for a couple music blogs that were pretty popular. And, you know, had always found myself wanting to do something in music, but just sort of got caught up in this crypto rabbit hole for a long time. It was a very sovereign industry, you know, it was very entrepreneurial in nature. And about 2 or 3 months ago, I connected with the CEO of Audius, and they were looking to roll out their token. You know, I had been working with a lot of teams on governance and token design, and we just sort of really hit it off in terms of it being a really good fit for one another. And so I came on board to basically lead crypto strategy and help give Audius a bigger presence in the crypto ecosystem that I'd become so familiar with through my writing at DeFi Rate and other outlets.
So Audius basically had the opposite problem. They had a strong foothold in sort of the space outside of crypto, and they needed you to market them more towards the crypto community. Is that right?
Yeah, and I wouldn't say it was weak necessarily. I just think that their approach was very interesting, and the fact that they decided to target, you know, average users, or I don't want to say average, but mainstream users, you know, and sort of like more creative individuals who had never heard of crypto before, and then sort of use that audience and that awareness to sort of build a brand within crypto as a project that had a very real and engaged user base.
Cool. Can you explain a little bit how the music industry currently works and what's broken about it before we talk more about audio specifically? Because maybe some of the listeners here are like crypto natives and don't know that much about the music industry.
Yep. I'd say the two things that come to mind for me are basically middlemen and payment cycles. The first one with middlemen, all along the road as a musician or an artist, anytime you get paid, there's at least 1 to 2 different parties taking a cut of any money that you're owed yourself. So right off the bat, you know, I think that there's a very big opportunity to disintermediate some of those players that have existed for a long time, but their services might not be as necessary anymore. Then on the second side of things, we have these payment cycles where as an artist, more times than not, if you get something that's streamed today, you won't actually realize that dollar until on the really optimistic side a month later, but more times than not, a couple months to a quarter after the fact. So those two things in particular, I think it's very difficult for artists to make a sustainable career just off of streaming, which has become the predominant way people get paid, especially in, you know, the environment we're in now with COVID. So there's a couple different areas where at Audius, we're looking to basically build better tooling and creative ways for artists to get paid so that they can better engage with their fans directly rather than having to go through a bunch of different intermediaries who are taking a cut of their music and their royalties and sort of causing these delays in payment cycles for when they actually do get paid.
Gotcha. And can you talk a little bit about Audius, like the company? How long has it been around? How big is it? How many users? Sort of the state of Audius today and what you have achieved?
Yeah, so Audius was founded about 2 years ago is when the closed beta launched. It's a 15-person team at this point. I was the most recent hire there. We are very happy to have a little bit over 1 million monthly active users at this point, which is fantastic. We have some really big names like Skrillex, RL Grime, Russ, Alina Baraz, you know, Excision uploaded his whole catalog yesterday. So we've been finding a really nice stride within specifically the base community to start. I like to liken Audius to basically SoundCloud in 2013, but built on a blockchain. And I think that's really important because anyone that was around for SoundCloud era, when SoundCloud was really popular, there were artists who built their entire careers off the back of their SoundCloud profile. And I think that where we got to with Spotify and sort of the way that music became distributed in recent years, we haven't been able to see new acts really come up and sort of get lifted off the ground as easily anymore. And so we wanted to create a platform where new artists can really build engaged communities and sort of share music that allows them to have a spotlight and sort of build a career on the back of a platform that they really enjoy.
Yeah, and you likened Audius to SoundCloud. It's interesting because I recently read an article about the early days of SoundCloud. And yeah, it reminds me a lot of about what you guys do with Audius. So SoundCloud, like you guys, is still like a free hosting platform where small artists can just upload their songs for free. But of course, with such a platform, you also invite a lot of copyright piracy because people can just upload original songs from other artists without having the consent of that other artist. And right. So at the same time, SoundCloud knew that if they wanted to be successful and have like large artists on their platform, they needed to have deals with the labels. And so at some point, they actually started really tightening the rules and trying to remove all the content that wasn't legal, let's say. And also later they introduced a fee, so artists couldn't host their songs for free anymore after a certain limit. So really the rules of the platform kind of changed after having a lot of success in the indie artist community. How do you guys at Audius strike the right balance between allowing artists to upload any content and at the same time you also don't want to annoy or get the anger of the big music industry players?
Totally, man. It's a really important topic. And I think that that's kind of just what happens when you scale into something that's as big as SoundCloud was. You know, I think that all of those issues started becoming relevant when other parties saw how influential of a platform that was. So it's more of a growing pain than something that I think SoundCloud was not intending to be malicious, in my opinion. I think that the key thing to keep in mind there is that, you know, SoundCloud as a company, you know, they had a lot of obligations to be able to cover their bottom line and to be able to make these deals so that they could sort of keep growing as a company and keep raising more. And sort of the way that we've built Audius is there is a core team that developed the protocol, but really my job here is to train that Audius is not a platform controlled by the Audius company. It's a platform built by and for its users, and sort of creating this mental models that there's a network of node operators who are responsible for all the content that we store. We have a platform token to be able to govern and upgrade the protocol, and sort of designing this in such a way that, you know, as we grow as a platform, the people who capture that value is not just Audius as the company. In fact, it's actually our very users and the people who are most active. So the reason why I think that's super important is, you know, you mentioned basically nowadays it's $15 a month to be able to upload unlimited content to SoundCloud. You know, you have to pay to listen offline. Most of the time, the tracks are like not the full version and whatnot. And I think one of the reasons why that happens is because there's such a strong need for SoundCloud to be profitable as a company. And that's not to say that Audius doesn't strive to do that, but what we are trying to do is put that value back into the hands of our users. So, you know, as a user of Audius, you can be confident that in the future, as an active user, you're going to be able to get a voice over the way we shape things. And with that voice, you know, I think it's very realistic that we will always adhere to the standards that artists think are best for them when they're uploading and distributing content.
Gotcha. So how do you convince the artists that are on Audius today? I know that you have some big names like RAC and others. How do they decide to upload their content on Audius if I know that for the time being, at least, you don't have built-in monetization for these artists? So what's their incentive?
Yeah, so I mentioned like early 2013 SoundCloud, you know, there was no monetization at that point either. I think it's really about being an innovator and sort of showing that you're early to platforms that have a lot of potential. It was really fascinating because for this 2 years, we were growing up this artist community. And when we did this launch of the audio token, we did a retroactive airdrop to our top 10,000 accounts. You know, no one saw that coming. We didn't tell anyone that was coming. We designed it in such a way so that the most active users were the highest recipients of that token. And I think that when people saw that they received ownership in this platform in the form of a token, they really felt validated that their time spent uploading content here and sort of giving us a shot. You know, I think that they saw very clearly that it was worth taking on that extra overhead of going and uploading to another platform. And, you know, as someone who's worked deeply in music, I very well know the fatigue that comes from all these artists uploading to all these different platforms and trying to stay up in the next latest and greatest streaming protocol. But, you know, on our end, I think that we designed it and sort of curated our community in such a way that people felt confident that time invested in this platform early on was going to result in something that was much better than what they have historically seen on other platforms that were just launched.
Gotcha. And so I know that one of the features that you also advertise is that the content that's uploaded on Audius is sort of censorship resistant, or at least it cannot be taken down. And that's actually also why you guys don't have to deal with copyright infringements if a song is uploaded that is uploaded without the consent of an artist. So the reason is that you don't actually host this content on your servers, but it's, like you said before, a distributed network of nodes. So is this actually a blockchain, or is it something else that you use as the underlying technology? Because I know that for at least a token, for example, that's definitely on the blockchain, but is the content itself also hosted on the blockchain? Because I always thought that blockchains are slow and expensive, not the right place to store data. But I would be interested to know more about the architecture you're using.
Yeah, so there's two really important topics here. I'll start off with the copyright one because it's the one that we get the most questions about. I want to make it very clear that Audius is legally compliant with everything that's uploaded to the platform. We have a takedown process for if infringed copy is uploaded, you can submit a request to node operators and have it removed. The whole platform is DMCA compliant. And I think the key difference here is that Audius, the company, is not the one dictating takedowns. And this is sort of the drastic difference from other entities. So, you know, if we got pressured by labels, I think that that conversation becomes a lot different because it's a collective organization of node operators that dictate what is and isn't allowed to live on the platform rather than us as a centralized entity. And so I think that people very commonly misconstrue our protocol design is something that encourages illicit behavior. But I just want to make it very clear for anyone listening that we care very deeply about unauthorized content. We've set up a whole arbitration process to deal with this. Yeah, I think that it's just kind of a different training model in terms of you can't just come to Audius as a company and expect us to take something down. Like, you need to go through the system that's designed and built by its users. And in the event you can make the right case there, which more times than not, it always is, you know, there are ways to sort of resolve these type of issues. Kind of on the other side, what you were saying about, you know, Audius and basically the way that we are dealing with like scaling and kind of like all this type of stuff. So every song that you hear on the platform is stored via IPFS. And the way that we do this is we have two different type of nodes. One is the discovery node and one is a content node. So you can think of when you go to load someone's profile, that's all coming from a discovery node. And then when you go to stream a song, that's coming from a content node. Right now, this is living on a proof of attendance protocol, POA. POA network, but we actually just announced a couple of weeks ago that we're going to be migrating that whole content system to Solana because it's much more efficient on cost and throughput. And basically what we saw is that with our growth, we were constantly using about 90 to 95% of the POA network's capacity. And when we had this mainnet launch, what this resulted in was long wait times because basically people were just querying our content so much that the blockchain just realistically couldn't handle it and couldn't keep up with that speed. So, you know, we're excited to hit this ceiling and sort of use this as a challenge to further adoption in the space. I think to your point, it has been historically said that storing data on chain is costly and inefficient. And that's something that is very true today with the Ethereum mainnet. But I do think that there are solutions out there that allow us to sort of piece in specific elements. Like I said, taking our content and putting that on Solana while keeping staking and our token and sort of all the things that people really know and love, and keeping that on Ethereum mainnet as we're founded on Ethereum. You know, we're all very deep Ethereum supporters, and that's sort of the ethos that we have, is using the tools available to offer our users the best experience that they have.
Quick shout out to our sponsor, Stakewise.io. Stakewise is a really cool ETH2 staking provider. They take care of all the heavy lifting involved in the staking process. Basically, they offer two options to stake. Pool staking, where you can stake any amount and you can withdraw your staked ETH at any point, or solo staking, where you need a minimum of 32 ETH and you have your own validator node hosted by Stakewise and maintained by Stakewise, but you also have full control over the funds. So there's two options depending on your needs and preferences. I really recommend you check them out at stakewise.io. They have an incentivized testnet going on at the moment where you can get familiar with the user experience of the whole staking process using fake ETH or testnet ETH. And they will go live with their production app in the next couple of weeks. Let's shift gear a little bit and talk more about the Audius token, because I think it's also related to the node operator role. So let's talk a bit about the token, the launch, and the utilities and features of the token.
Yep, absolutely. So Audio Token is a platform token which represents kind of ownership in the platform. We have three ways that we like to think of this. So audio can be staked for security, for feature access, and governance. So on the security side of things, if you want to run a node on Audius, which is those discovery nodes and those content nodes that I mentioned, you need to post a self bond of at least 200,000 audio tokens. And what this does is allow you to spin up a node and basically capture issuance from, you know, running a service on the network. So Audius as a network, we currently have 7% annual inflation, which means that every year, 7% of the total supply is issued on top of what's existing today. And that's an ongoing incentive for people to be active and supportive of the platform. So the reason I mentioned that first is that staking is the one that's live today. We have node operators that are currently staking Audio to basically secure the network. And as a user, you're able to take your tokens and delegate them to a node operator and capture a portion of that issuance. The feature that I'm more excited about is sort of the second bucket, which is feature access. And so when we distributed our token, we had a level one, which is basically if you held at least one Audio token in your wallet, you could join a token permission Discord chat. That allowed you to see other people who held the token and have an open conversation, knowing that other people kind of shared the same token you did. And I think that's the very, very tip of the iceberg in terms of what we can do with feature access. So, you know, whereas on SoundCloud, you might be paying $15 a month for some very basic service, we're kind of designing features in a way that by holding a token, you can access very specific features. And in the future, when you don't need that feature anymore, you know, you can kind of come and go at your choosing. And there's not really a sunk cost associated with having to use something as basic as uploading content. So we're kind of thinking at Audius, like, how do we tie this token to our killer feature on the platform? And how do we design the system in such a way that as an active user, as an artist, as a curator, you know, you can earn Audio tokens from the value you provide and then use those tokens to unlock higher tiers of access within the platform and the features that we offer. And the last one there is governance. So as I mentioned, if you're staking for security or if you're staking for feature access, you receive governance weight. And as we all know, governance weight allows you to vote on proposals. These proposals could be anything from adding a new feature to the platform to increasing the issuance rate on the protocol. And it's a very early stages and something that as someone coming from DeFi, you know, I've seen firsthand how powerful governance can be. But when we're talking to this new audience of artists who have never heard of crypto for the first time, it's an interesting challenge for me to be able to design governance in such a way that makes sense to users and give them enough reason to care about it so that they want to go out of their way and actually participate in these votes when they're happening.
Gotcha. So users can stake to get feature access and the more, let's say, technical people can run a node, which helps the Audius network, well, they kind of store content and both have a say in the governance of the Audius platform.
Yep, that's exactly right.
So what are the types of decisions that, like, for example, users or artists, what are decisions that they will be able to decide upon in the future?
Yeah, so I think, you know, setting your own royalty rates is a pretty interesting one. So as an artist, if you want to charge $1 per stream, if you want to charge a cent per stream, that's a decision that you're able to control yourself. If we wanted to even turn on monetization in the first place, that's something that's going to have to go through governance. I mentioned before, if you want to add in new features to the protocol, if you want to whitelist certain actors to be able to do certain things, the issuance rate, like I said, where tokens are distributed, who gets to earn them. You know, there's kind of a very wide net of what governance can entail. And I think for us, it's more important to just kind of figure out what makes sense in the moment and how do we kind of train users to be having these conversations that, you know, we believe add value to the protocol, but we're not the ones making that decision. We're simply a participant in a larger conversation among our community to basically think of what we can do to evolve Audius in correspondence with our users and what they want to see.
And does a token also have any, let's say, monetary value? Does it sort of generate cash flows for users or artists or node operators? Or is it really more a governance token and guarantee that you can participate in the future of the platform?
Yeah, so there's no monetary incentives today. You know, we actually don't offer royalties per stream on Audius right now. And I think that's because that's a much, much wider, deeper topic than something that we're very conscious. We want to get right before we roll it out. So, you know, there aren't protocol fees happening on Audius today, intentionally so. Right now, the token is very much a right to governance. And, you know, as I said before, everything in Audius is governable. So when we talk about that subject, I think that that's an area where people can decide to have those conversations when it makes sense. Ultimately, it's up to the community to decide whether or not Audio token should have some of those features that would be more attractive to token holders.
It's very interesting, this token model. I know a lot of friends who are very deeply into music, and I think they would love to have a say in, like, the future Spotify or the future SoundCloud. It's very interesting. But in practice, so the token supply, I haven't looked exactly how it's distributed, but could users and artists collectively overrule you, the team, or the team and the founders, for example? Like, do they really have a majority collectively?
Yeah, so in time, they absolutely will. And I think, as I mentioned before, this is why issuance is so important. You know, in crypto, what we've seen historically is you issue a token, it has a fixed supply at Genesis, and then it never changes again. And the way that we designed our token was basically issue 1 billion tokens at the start, then that's kind of the total supply today. But with ongoing issuance, there's 7% issued every year, and that sort of keeps compounding. So you can see very quickly these team and investor percentages relative to total supply are continually getting smaller and smaller as we issue new tokens into the supply. And those new tokens are going to node operators, to artists, to sort of the active users. And the one thing I want to really emphasize here is that this design encourages active participation. It makes it so you can't come and just buy audio on day one and then just sit on it for 5 years and have infinite governance weight. You know, you actually really need to be paying attention and participating in the ways to earn tokens if you want to have an active voice in this protocol. And at least for me, as someone who's been designing a lot of token models, I think this is extremely attractive and a system that I think we're seeing a lot more teams take note of as far as, you know, adding in an issuance schedule to basically reward active users.
Have you seen the interest in the platform really skyrocket with the launch of the token? And also on the artist side, I mean, I know that you're working with some artists that are very crypto curious. RAC is one of them, but I know there are one or two others. And yeah, how is that taking place? Do you see more artists now coming since you launched a token being interested by this novel architecture, or is it sort of the same?
Oh, we saw a huge, huge spike, man. I mean, it was honestly incredible. Just like coming from a music background and seeing the level of interest we had from artists I've been following for years, it was like one of the biggest events that I've seen in my life, to be honest, like for my personal interest. To give some like hard code stats, so we basically had the total amount of tracks uploaded to the platform increased by 50% over the course of 4 days. And that's relative to the 2 years that we've been in existence so far. We saw our average users spike about 40% over the course of the week. You know, Skrillex got on board. A bunch of artists started uploading their catalog. There was a bunch of smaller artists basically doing audience follow trains. And I think it was very difficult if you were an electronic producer to go more than like a couple of people away to not have heard audience as a conversation topic, which for us was really, really important, right? You know, we are a crypto company, but we want to make sure that we have a very strong foothold in a wider audience and make sure that our community is super involved. So for me, having a crypto event that made waves enough for people to care about what was going on was something that I've been working very hard for a very long time. And I think it's really just the start of what else we've gotten sort of.
And how do you attract more of these big artists on the platform? Is that a process where you as a company do marketing and try to have conversations with these big artists? And then yeah, what is the feedback that you get? And can artists just decide to upload their content, or is that something they have to get the agreement of their label from, for example?
Mm-hmm. So it definitely depends on an artist per artist basis. There's not really a blanket answer for that. You know, obviously anyone can upload to the platform, but it's really up to the artist and sort of the agreements that they're in to determine whether or not it's actually okay for them to upload that. It's not something that we actively police as far as uploading. We do encourage people very strongly to make sure that their rights holders are properly listed, that all the metadata is properly filled out. But yeah, I think to your point about how we've gotten big artists, so I'll give a quick shout out to our head of artist relations, Clayton Blaha. He's incredible. He co-founded Osla, which is Skrillex's label, a couple of years back, and has just been doing a really killer job just with education and sort of larger artist awareness. You know, he is always constantly hunting for new acts, and like at least once a week, if not more, we have a really, really big name that's come onto the platform, uploaded all their catalog. And I really think that the vast majority of the big names that you see on the platform, that's all a result of Clayton's doing and sort of his ability to show why it's so exciting what we're building here.
You sort of have network effects also in music platforms like that, right? You need big artists to attract more users. And then, of course, if you have more users, you also get bigger artists through time. But because I went on the platform and I was really amazed by also the user experience and the amount of music that you already have on there. But then if you look in certain categories, niche categories, for example, it's a bit, there's sometimes some categories where there's less content. So it's, I guess, the most important part of your mission to get the big artists on there, right?
Yeah, so I'd actually say this is a really interesting design philosophy that I've been talking a lot about. You know, I don't see us basically trying to compete with getting all the catalog in the world up there in the short term. So you can think of like the Post Malones, the Ariana Grandes of the world. I think that that's something we strive to get to in the future. But I think in the short term, we're actually looking for artists that have super engaged communities. So for example, REC and Kenny Beats are two great examples where they have very active Discord channels. They're super active on Twitch. They do a lot of live streams. And I'm personally more excited about the artists that are building really, really engaged communities rather than trying to get a vast majority of catalog on our platform. So the way I've been pitching this is basically the quality of the artists that we have over the quantity of them. And I think that we can play a very crucial role in showing artists that building a community is extremely important. You know, we've seen time and time again with Spotify and other platforms, getting paid per stream, it's a very difficult model to live off of. And I think that from my perspective, giving artists the tools to find 1,000 true fans who will buy every single thing that you do is actually more of a sustainable model than trying to play catch up and sort of, you know, get into these gatekeeping societies that are like the Spotify editorial playlists of the world.
Yeah, that's probably the right approach, because it's perhaps easier to start with a couple of artists and show the world that these artists are really able to build community on audience and to have engaged fans and maybe even to monetize their songs successively than to build communities and monetize their content. But I know that one big trend also, especially among the artists that you mentioned, is to launch their own personal crypto tokens. So again, REC here showed the way. Is that something that you think Audius will be able to incorporate like natively into the platform, where artists that have their own REC token, and because they try to build their own communities also outside of Audius, right, with private Discord channels and Twitch, like you mentioned. Do you think Audius could also be sort of the platform where all the artists with personal tokens can engage in special ways using their own personal token? Or do you try to put the Audius token at the center of everything?
Yeah, it's a really important question here. So for people who aren't familiar, social tokens is a really, really cool trend that I'm very active in. Basically, this is creating a token to represent a brand, community, or individual. So you mentioned REC, and he has a token that's called REC coin. And I think that these are the first of many examples where basically artists will create a token to represent their brand and share that with their community. To your question about where it fits into Audius, you know, I don't envision us becoming an issuer of social tokens. You know, if you're someone like REC who has a social token, we are 100% building tooling to allow you to distribute that to listeners of your music and to basically do cool things like putting content behind a token gate. So you need to have, let's say, 10 tokens to be able to stream a certain song or something like that. But yeah, I think it's a really, really cool trend. It's one that REC was definitely one of the first major artists to do it. There's a lot of people in crypto experimenting with it. It's still really, really early. But the thing that I like about this is, you know, as a fan of an artist, a token represents a cross-platform way to support them. So today, what we have is you follow them on Instagram, you follow them on Twitter, you know, you subscribe to them on Twitch, you subscribe to them on Patreon. All of those platforms are disconnected. And what an artist token does is it allows you to be unified across anything that you do. So regardless of what platform you go to, you're sort of bringing that value with you rather than trying to let the platform that you're using be the one that dictates how that value is created and distributed.
Okay, so personal tokens enable artists to free themselves from any single platform. And so they will also not be bound to Audius in particular.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, we really want to encourage artists to use these social currencies to build brands and communities wherever they can. I don't think that Audius specifically should be the only place they do that. What I will say is we're taking it very seriously, though. And I think as a supporter and a strong believer in social tokens, you know, the things that we're working on to allow social tokens to have a very vibrant presence on Audius, I think that we're going to be one of the first movers in terms of, if this is something that's interesting to you, Audius is a great place to test it out. It's a good place to distribute tokens in a meaningful way. Yeah, it's something that I've seen be very difficult. You know, even for REC, I think that when we're in crypto, we see liquidity mining, we see all these different ways to get tokens into other users' hands. But with social tokens and something that's very personal in nature, you know, you have to be careful about the way that you distribute tokens and ensure that they're going to people who are truly your fans and supporters. And so building tooling into platform like Audius, where people can stream content, they can follow you, they can engage with your craft on a very meaningful level. I think this is very exciting as a way to distribute tokens to people who genuinely care about you and you and your craft.
Could you also imagine to help artists with the issuance of their own token, the creation of their own token, and then you mentioned the distribution, but to really help them, not just with the distribution, but every aspect of the token launch. So kind of become a factory for personal tokens.
Yeah, it's a very big topic. It's one that has a lot of legal uncertainty right now, just on the wider perspective. I think that we obviously want to help artists when they're going down this path of saying, hey, I want to have a token. I don't see Audius being an issuer of personal tokens or social tokens in the short to medium term. I'm optimistic that in the long term, we can see some more regulation that makes this path more clear. But for now, we have players like Roll, like Rally, Zora, which issued RAC's token. We have very strong relationships with all these teams, and we feel very confident that if an artist comes to us and wants to create a social token, we can connect them with the right people to make that happen in the best way possible for what they're trying to accomplish.
Understood. And you mentioned before the possibility of monetization, that you will build features where users can pay per stream, for example. How will that look like in practice? Is it a feature where users will have to pay with fiat, or is it really the Audius token that is used for every aspect and users have to top up their wallet like with fiat and then they have some Audius tokens? Can you talk a little bit about how that will look like?
Yeah, so I'll start off by saying that it's a very big question and one that we don't have figured out yet. It's still a ways away and I wouldn't expect this to happen in the short term. And there's a very good chance that this could change from the way that I think about it today. But with that in mind, my personal view on how this would work is utilizing micropayments and stablecoins as a mean of value transfer. How I would envision this happening is you have a USD balance in your account. This is separate from your Audius tokens that you hold, although it may be able to use those as well. And basically on a case-by-case basis, every time you stream a track, you're paying a very, very tiny fraction of a cent to that artist directly. And why this is so important is because, you know, at the top of the podcast, we talked about when you stream something on Spotify today, it goes into a rights collector. They basically hold on to that money. Then the distributor gets a fraction of that. You know, the label gets a fraction of that. And then after the label collects, then the artist is able to invoice and get their payment. Then the manager gets their cut on top. And there's just so many steps there that can just be completely automated. And so I actually think that, you know, paying in a cryptocurrency or a USD denominated stablecoin is extremely exciting for being able to pay people in real time and sort of being able to know that when you're listening to an artist, you're actually paying them directly and giving the people involved with that song their cut directly, rather than it going through like 10 different middlemen, it being broken down and split up to a bunch of parties and then distributed. So from a high level to answer your question, topping up a balance, paying with very small fractional payments, and those amounts that you pay per stream will be dictated by the artist relative to how much they want to charge for their catalog.
Yeah, I think this built-in payments is definitely one of the most interesting aspects of this whole idea. I think that's also why the idea resonates so much with artists, and also why there have been like a couple of companies actually attempting to build something with crypto and music, merging those two worlds. But it seems like you guys have really a good shot at actually succeeding in this mission, because I mean, if you look at the scale of the platform today and the artists that you have, the amount of users, so it seems like you're really onto something. So maybe just to wrap it up, what does the future roadmap look like in the very near future, next 2 to 3 months, what can we expect to see from Audius?
Yep. So I think the thing that I'm most excited about right now is staking rewards going live. So as I mentioned, for node operators, there's a direct incentive to secure the network. For the last 2 years, we were basically running on an incentivized test net. With the launch of this token, you were able to start staking on mainnet. So we have a lot of node operators migrating over and basically just getting Audius tokens for securing the network. So that piece in and of alone is just like great to secure the foundation. I think on the artist side, you know, basically we did this Audius airdrop where if you're an active user on the platform, one of our top 10,000 users, you got some tokens for being an artist who uploaded content, who reposted content, who did meaningful actions. And so we're very closely looking at ways to incentivize other behaviors on the platform. And I think that as an artist, if you're active and engaged with our content and sort of the material that we'll be releasing in the coming weeks here, I think there's a very good likelihood that you could be looking for something similar to our airdrop that we had in the past as an added incentive for continued support and usage of the platform.
Nice. Yeah, I unfortunately didn't make the cut. I signed up a week before the token launch because I had a feeling that something was brewing, but I hadn't used it enough in that week to get included. But I'll make sure to use it a bit more then. And to all the listeners, you heard it. Better get using. So yeah, thanks so much for sharing this. It was super interesting. I hope that people who are new to crypto and hear this podcast will be encouraged to try it out.
Totally, man. Well, thank you very much for having me on. To anyone listening, the place where I'm most active is on Twitter at Koopa Troopa, and then on Telegram at Koopa Troopa New if you'd like to discuss further. So thank you for having me on. This was a fantastic conversation. And I'm looking forward to doing it again soon.
Yeah, I can definitely recommend everyone to follow him. Also, besides Audius, it's a very good Twitter account to follow. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
Hey, it's me again. I hope you liked this episode. If you did, please feel free to share it with your friends and family or give us a follow on Twitter or LinkedIn. And if you have some feedback, reach out to me. I'd love to hear it.